What minutes would this go to find the enemy then?
Well, they just would, they would strike a small unit and then just disappear into the jungle. They had, you have canopy up maybe 100 feet over top of you. You have this this canopy, airplanes, air cover. I mean, airplanes can't find the enemy. They can move them day or night. And most of the time, they moved along the major trails at night. And you just couldn't find them in large numbers. They didn't mass like Korea and World War II, where enemy massed to your front, rear, or wherever. They didn't do that. They stayed fairly small groups. That's what made this battle unusual. They massed on Chupong Mountain. That was their headquarters for a division or so of troops. And they had access to right on the Cambodian border with the Ho Chi Minh Trail feeding right down into it. The weapons we captured were all brand new weapons we took away from them. They had brand new uniforms. Their weapons still had the grease on them from the manufacturer and the issue. They were brand new weapons. So that's what made it rather unusual. They were masked for the purpose of engaging them. Their purpose, commander's been interviewed by Colonel Moore several years ago, and that commander of that battle said they wanted to test their theories against the Americans, see if they could, how to fight against the helicopter-borne troops. And he admitted that from their side that they failed failed in their objectives. They found we had too much firepower. We had all this artillery we could bring in very quickly, and that sort of thing.
So basically, their biggest mistake in this battle was massing troops instead of staying put.
Exactly. Yeah, I would say that they should have stuck with their old methods, and they learned quick. They went back to their old methods of small unit activity, not massing large numbers of troops. With our air power that we had on station, we could have just tons of bombs on them and napalm and so forth, and in a matter of minutes, as well as artillery fire. And they just didn't expect that. They didn't expect us to carry artillery pieces around in helicopters, drop them down a few miles away, and be able to pound them in just a matter of minutes. So
basically, it was their knowledge of the land versus your lack of knowledge.
Yeah, and one of the things that probably helped us is these guys that we were fighting weren't from that area. They were from North Vietnam. This was an area that virtually no one had, no population there at all. These people had never been there before, I'm sure. Very few had ever been there. So it was similar terrain to what they were used to. And they had the advantage there, but we had the firepower.
And the cover of the trees and foliage made it difficult for the air.
Yeah, right. The air part of it, the pilots couldn't see. That's why we had to mark things on the ground. We threw trip flares at night that would let off a bright light, or flares of some sort. We'd have to mark it with smoke during the day. We'd have to let them know by throwing different colors of smoke just for the fire, because they couldn't see much at all from there.
So that was definitely a disadvantage to the United States, wasn't it, because of the air wars in Korea and World War II?
Yeah, the pilots were used to seeing tanks on the ground or large targets on the ground that were easy to hit. Now they're just dropping bombs into trees. And really, unless the good thing was they talked to people on the ground. There were Air Force pilots on the ground. We had an Air Force captain who was a pilot. He had to serve a 1-year tour on the ground with us as a forward air controller. And he's the one that would bring the aircraft in. In his absence, we had other people that could do it, but it was comforting knowing you had an Air Force pilot right there, because he knew the aircraft, he knew the pilots, and he would report back and tell them if they were doing the right thing. If they dropped the bomb on top of us, he'd tell them that too. So, there was good communications that way.
So you didn't really feel endangered by your own bombs?
Well, it's a different kind of fear. You don't, when somebody's shooting at you and you're and engage with the enemy, and a pilot drops a bomb behind you, as they did in the Idrang Valley. We had bombs dropped right on top of us. It's not that scary. You know that they're out there to kill the enemy, and it doesn't affect you the same as if the enemy was shooting your artillery.
Were any of the troops in your division or your, were they killed by any friendly fire? Did you have much of that?
We started out with some friendly fire. We had several people killed and wounded at the start. And that's something that only, you don't really train for that. It's hard to train to prevent maybe friendly fire, but as you are in a operation for a while, you learn how to handle that, and you learn how to operate to avoid friendly fire. I think that's one of the problems with war like Desert Storm that lasted a short time in any battle. Initially, you're going to take casualties by through mistakes that made, whereas after a little bit of experience, that doesn't happen. We had very little friendly fire problems I can ever think of after the first 30 days we were there. Just
didn't happen. What about the rest of the war? Do you remember?
I don't remember too many incidents of friendly fire. We had, I think it was the South Vietnamese, or we had some Koreans that were working with us. And we had their artillery fired on us one night, and we got it stopped. I think we might have had a couple people hurt, but we were able to stop that. Nothing major. Again, I'm sure occasionally aircraft strafed. I think I can remember one case where we had an aircraft strafe our troops, and a bunch of guys were hit by 20-millimeter shrapnel and hurt, but that was really the exception.
Was the United States victorious in the Battle of Anjan Valley?
Well, I think so, because our objective was not to take the mountain or anything else, but to engage the enemy and kill enemy, and we killed over 2,000 North Vietnamese during that 1 or 2 week operation, that period of time, over 2,000, and took a few captives also. I think it was a victory, although both sides claimed victory. We lost in the press. That was the first large account of Americans dying in battle since the Korean War. So that shocked the public that we were losing, tens of guys each day in the Anjan Valley. Now, the total body count ended up quite large for us. I don't have a figure right now. Probably several hundred people killed, which was a bit large number. And that kind of shocked the public. But again, when you figure that we were a very small force defending against a very large concentrated enemy, and we killed over 2,000, I feel we won the battle.
But the press declared.
Press kind of, yeah. Some of the press accounts claim that something short of victory, that because we lost. There were errors made by different commanders in the battle, and I'm sure troops were lost because of the errors of some of the leaders following the initial battle. And things like that happen in combat, but generally, overall, I would say it was a terrible victory.
Many of the critics today say that the reason for the lack of success in Vietnam, what they have termed the lack of success, is due to poor leadership. What do you think about that?
Well, I think poor civilian leadership from the top down probably in those days, but not military leadership. I think the military leadership was sound all the way through and got better as things went along. I think we're suffering today because we lost some of our best leaders. Some of those lieutenants and captains who were killed in Vietnam, of course, aren't around today to lead today's army. And, I think we lost a lot of good people. But I don't think there was any leadership problem. The problem was we had no clear-cut objectives. And I think because of that, all future wars will be handled differently, as Desert Storm was, with clear-cut objectives. And we certainly didn't have it. We let the politicians run the war in Vietnam, and the politicians ended the war. And that's the reason we lost, because of the politicians ending it. Once you say you're gonna back out and make peace, you might as well say, well, then here, yeah, when we lose, you can have your country back.
So Lyndon Johnson was president at the time he was there. Yeah.
The time we went there, Lyndon Johnson was the president. Right?
So if someone were to shoulder the blame, it would be him.
Well, I wouldn't do that. I'd go back to Kennedy and whatever. I'd go back a little farther. Because actually, once we started sending observers over there and advisors and things, that just meant we were just going to send more and more people and have troops. But yeah, I don't think Johnson. I, Nixon ended it, and probably Nixon is one of the reasons for the, he was trying to make peace. He ran on that platform. He was going to make peace, and he did. And there was peace, and we withdrew. And then, of course, as soon as we withdrew, we had to know what would happen next. They would just invade and take over and conquer the South.
So basically, you needed better goals and a better objective, and then once you committed, you just commit
right.
all the way.
Right.
Back.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. What types of tactics were you used, not only in the battle we just talked about, but all the other ones when?
Generally, you started out just seeking the enemy and seeking the enemy through intelligence reports of. Again, that was probably one of our weak areas back in those days was gathering intelligence, finding out. Usually, when we had a report that there was a force concentrated somewhere, by the time we got there, and it usually didn't take us very long to get there, they were gone. So the hard part was finding a force. Once you found the force, you'd quickly deploy the troops in a position to engage them. And usually that was, we called that, that was the search and destroy type action that we did. And really every action that I took part in was that. We'd find the enemy, we'd send in 16 helicopters loaded down with troops, because basically that was the basic formation. It was a formation of 16 helicopters with 8-9 people per helicopter drop them off. They'd make another lift, come in with another 16, so you had your whole force there. Use artillery, use fire support. And we were probably most commanders were very cautious in Vietnam and used a lot of fire support, a lot of artillery, a lot of airstrikes, rather than fixing bayonets and charging up a hill, which didn't make sense anyway. They might as well engage them with indirect fire. So that kind of was our, we'd find them and try to engage them with all the firepower we could. And that was the tactic.